Well, my life is in thy hand, O my Lord. I give it all to thee. And until death, death I'll carry on, till at last he shall call for me. I am Missionary Richard Yerby, preaching this to you from the Buddhist belt of Japan. Actually, this entire land of the rising sun is a strong Buddhist belt with idolatry and spiritual darkness abounding. My title for this sermon is They Loved Not Their Lives. That title is taken from the last of the three qualifications of an overcomer, written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, which reads, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." My friend, listen to me now. No doubt but what you observe life around you, the manner in which people carry out their lives as they steadily pass their limited time on this earth, each human soul heading to the eternal destiny that each of them freely chooses, either the eternal bliss and joy of God's heaven or the eternal torments of hell's flames that God created for the devil and his angels and has no desire that you go there, you Christ rejectors. Your Creator God desires that you repent and trust in Jesus Christ to save you from hell's eternal torments. I earnestly pray that you will do that. Please think upon what you see individual people around you expending their own life's energies, abilities, and resources, and think especially on how their earthly life ends. From the time I was 13 years old, I observed a certain businessman in my small hometown of Vernon, Alabama. He set out to gain much in this world. While working his own business in his shop in Vernon, he steadily dabbled in additional money-making side businesses. In passing time, he came to have many irons in the fire, as the old saying goes. He got into financial trouble, and in that stress, he became addicted to alcohol or drugs or possibly both, and had to spend time in a treatment center for his addiction. When released from that treatment center, his health and strength were greatly diminished, severely limiting his ability to work. He died at age 57, I'm quite sure, if not 57, thereabouts. I read his obituary in Vernon's local weekly newspaper, gazing thoughtfully on his photo in that obituary. Likely that photo was taken some years before he died. Unfulfilled, unsatisfied was the distinct expression that his face portrayed, even some years before his death. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's glory lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder I will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold. I gazed long and hard on that photo of this deceased small town businessman, marveling that the unfulfilled, unsatisfied image was ever so profound. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The sweet psalmist of Israel says in Psalm 16, verse 6. I understand this to mean the lines on a person's face. By the time a person reaches middle age, it is quite common that his or her face tells their life story thus far, to what degree life has been fulfilled or unfulfilled, good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant, stormy seas or smooth sailing, fortunate or unfortunate, blessed or cursed. I observe people over 50 years old whose mouths turn downward on each side, similar to a horseshoe, making me wonder how many decades it has been since they smiled from the heart because something truly made their heart joyful. Anyway, failing health brought on by tobacco, alcohol, and our drugs, stress, numerous worries, and such began to limit this aggressive businessman's abilities when he was in his 40s. And death came at age 57 or so. I give God the glory that as I preach this to you now in the year 2026, past the age of 80, my physical and mental abilities are likely higher than average for an 80-year-old person. Though possibly no one would consider my face to be handsome, the lines have fallen upon me in pleasant places. The east and west edges of my mouth do not turn down like a horseshoe. To God be the glory. Due to God's abundantly rich mercy and grace upon my life, from early on, I have endeavored to love the Lord God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind, as stated in God's first and great commandment in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. The reward that our Creator God has given me for doing this is ever so rich and magnificent. That song that I sang at the start of this sermon, I am so blessed to joyfully sing those words from the bottom of my heart. Well, my life is in Thy hand, O my Lord, I give it all to Thee, and until death I'll carry on, till at last He shall call for me. Another key scripture to consider regarding this is Jesus' words in John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Because Jesus is the friend of sinners, He befriended me when I was a lost sinner, a child of the devil, by laying down His life on the cross to pay my sin debt in my stead, so that I would not have to suffer forever the wages of my sin in the torments of hell fire. Now, if I am to obey His first and great commandment, to love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind, that obedience will entail me being willing to readily lay down my life anytime for Jesus Christ and for the cause of His gospel. And they love not their lives unto the death. That is the state of overcomers. My Christian friend, if we fail in this matter, we are not overcomers. Please pray for me that I will have this supreme love for my Lord and Master. I pray the same for you, Christian friend. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross to provide atonement and redemption for me, I believe that he shed all his blood, the very last drop. Thus, I should be willing to shed all of my life's blood for my Lord Jesus. If I did so, I would bleed to death, and that would end my physical life on this earth. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? Back about the 1990s, I guess it was, I read a most precious and true modern-day story along these lines. There was a family of four in the USA, a married couple with a small son and daughter. I don't recall which child was older, but both children were small. The daughter came down with a rare serious blood disorder. Modern medicine can treat it by taking out her blood and transfusing healthy blood into her body. The healthy blood must not only be the same blood type as the daughter's blood, but other detailed aspects of the donor's blood must also match. Possibly a family member's blood will have these same detailed qualities. In testing the parent's blood and her brother's blood, only her brother's blood was a perfect match. No other qualified donor was known. If this treatment is not tried, she will soon die of that blood disorder. I do not recall the brother's age, under 12 years old for sure, and I think only 7 or 8 years old or so. The parents explained this life-threatening situation to their son in simple words that he would understand. I can imagine their explanation being along these lines. No one else's blood will do. Only your blood is just right. If you do not give her your blood, your sister will die. Anyway, from what his parents said to him, he concluded in his mind that he had to give his sister all of his blood, and therefore that he would die instead. And regretfully, he didn't voice this, his own mistaken conclusion, to his parents. Thus, they were unaware that he thought he would die by giving the blood transfusion. And on seeing that he became fearfully apprehensive upon hearing this, they failed to catch the real reason for it. They thought that he was apprehensive simply over making a blood donation, which he had never yet done, of course, and doing so is quite a big deal, especially to a small child. So after explaining the crisis on a child's level, the parents put the question to their son: will you give your sister your blood? I can picture in my mind the small boy taking a deep breath and nodding his head. In his own mind, he made the decision to lay down his life for his sister that she may go on living. He is a precious, loving brother. Thus, when the time came for him to donate blood, his parents took him to the hospital, to the room where the hospital staff would take his blood. Oh, he was ever so apprehensive. I'm about to die, was the frightening thought that filled his mind. I can imagine his parents then explaining to him the brief time that the transfusion would take, the fallen amount of time that he would have to lie still and rest, possibly an hour or so, and then one of them would take him home. Something to that effect we can imagine. And to him, it sure sounded like he would go on living after giving his blood. You mean I'm not going to die? He inquired hopefully. I expect that the parents would be taken aback by his question. No, you're not going to die, they would assure him. I thought I had to give her all my blood. Whereupon we can expect that both parents were overcome with surprise that the boy had concluded that, and were most regretful that their explaining had caused him to mistakenly conclude that. But most of all, I would expect that both parents were overcome with appreciation that the lad, their son, had agreed in his own mind to lay down his life for his sister. No doubt but what that lad felt like he had been resurrected from the dead. Indescribable, joyful relief. I had similar feelings when I trusted in Jesus Christ to save me from hell's eternal torments. Lost friend, right now, you also can gain such joy and relief by repenting to God and asking Jesus Christ to save you from going to hell's eternal fiery torments. My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, hast thou left all for me? I left it all for thee, hast thou left all for me? And they loved not their lives unto the death. Overcomers. On the cross of Calvary, Christ shed, poured out all of his blood to the very last drop to buy pardon for you and for me. Pardon from the eternal death sentence that we were under. By pouring out all his blood, he thus wise poured out his life and died a human death. Why should we Christian believers not be more than glad to shed the very last drop of our own blood in service unto him who loved us with the greatest love that there is? Do you love your own life? Well, Richard, of course I love my own life. Who doesn't love their own life? It just comes natural for a person to love his own life. Well, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love your own life? Now, Richard, preacher man, you are just asking too many personal questions. Quit being so nosy about others and just go about your own business there in Japan. I care not to face these questions you are asking. Abba, Father, have mercy on us lukewarm Laodiceans. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell. A bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I now read Hebrews 12, verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Fellow Christian, do you ever strive against the sin that is abounding around you? When you hear profane speech, do you ever ask the speaker, friend, do you consider that judgment day is near? God have mercy on Christians who never strive against sin. In doing spiritual warfare for my Lord and Master, I have not yet resisted unto blood. I am a novice, immature beginner, soldier of the cross, who has not yet been blooded by children of the devil as I stand for righteousness. The writer of Hebrews had resisted unto blood several times. Likely he is aiming this statement to Hebrews who do not strive against sin, even when it is not likely to result in them shedding blood by doing so. That is the case of the vast majority of lukewarm Laodicean churchgoers. They do not speak up against the evil abounding around them, even if it only costs them their selfish pride. 1 Samuel 4:9 reads, be strong and quit yourselves like men. Let's pray that. Abba, Father, please make me strong in thy power and might to be a valuable soldier of the cross. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 reads, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let us pray it. Lord Jesus Christ, please enable me to watch ever so spiritually alert and to stand fast in the faith. Please make me strong in thy might and fill me with godly righteous courage to win great battles for thy majestic glory. I pray this for all other Christians now on earth. Amen. And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? We are duty-bound to Almighty God, our righteous judge, who created us for his pleasure, to willingly and gladly bring our entire created being, body, soul, and spirit, and all our possessions and resources and every minute and hour of our time unto our Creator God, who is most worthy of it all, and lay them down on his altar before him in like fashion as Abram laid his beloved son Isaac on the altar to slay him with a sword. God forbid that our love for him know any rival love. And if I perish, I perish, should be our firmly fixed mindset regarding that. Let's look at that glorious, victorious declaration by Queen Esther in the Old Testament book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16. As this Jewish queen stood in the gap and made up the hedge to save the lives of the Jews scattered throughout 127 provinces from India even unto Ethiopia, ruled over by powerful King Ahasuerus from his palace in Shushan, at the time that the Jews' wicked adversary Haman was plotting to entice King Ahasuerus to exterminate, to kill all the Jews living in all those provinces over which he ruled. Almighty God divinely chose to place this young, beautiful Jewish lady Esther into the high and lofty role of queen to this powerful Gentile king for the very purpose of her being the human agent who would save the lives of the many Jews inside King Ahasuerus' kingdom. God forbid that she fail in this divine purpose for which God created her and miraculously elevated her up unto. God forbid that she loves her own physical life more than she loves her Creator God, because this will necessitate her going unannounced before this strict, powerful king at a time when she is not called by him to come. And if he be not pleased with her coming without him calling her, he will have her executed. That is how strict he is, even to his own queen. She will lay her life on the line by coming into his presence unannounced. Listen now as I read the account of Esther conveying that to her relative Mordecai in Esther chapter 4, verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him unto death, except such to him to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Oh, it powerfully thrills my soul and challenges me to read these scriptures of this ancient spiritual battle in high places on earth. Listen now to Mordecai's reply to that message from Esther, verses 12 through 14. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Godly Queen Esther gloriously rose to meet the occasion. Verses 15 through 17. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. That ends the reading of those scriptures. This true love story excites me to no end, but my time is up for now. So I hope to continue this love story the next time. Anyone can listen to these sermons anytime on my website under the link titled Radio Sermons Audio. That URL is christisall.us. Separate those three words with two dashes. Christ-is-all.us. If you would introduce these sermons to other people, other Christians you know who do not know me, I'm blessed that people will listen to them. I'm blessed that Christian friends in the States will pray for me to be strong in the faith to preach Christ here in Central Japan, and also to intercede for the many Japanese souls who hear me preaching out in public most every day, if it's not pouring rain, and even some days when it is pouring rain. Intercede for the Holy Spirit to work powerfully in their lives, to set them free from everything that is holding them captive from coming to Christ. God does hear and answer prayer. Prayer makes a difference. We lay out our sins for lazy, not praying enough. God be with you and help you to do His perfect will. Pray the same for me, that I will walk according to the Spirit in the perfect will of God. God richly bless you this day and every day of your life.